Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Eason here with Louis D'Souza on Monday, January the 13th, 2020. It's 4 p.m. New York time, and wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we're happy to be doing this at all. We're having Technology Day today. Louis's been dealing with video technology. I'm dealing with bounding my head against the wall technology. And it's making me think, Louis, we got to change our vibration here because our vibration is not on the right track at all.
Oh, challenges. How are we going to learn to enjoy them?
Yes, that's it, right? I'm having so much fun repeating the same mistakes over and over again.
If at first you don't succeed.
Yeah, try again. Unfortunately,
Abrams says give up.
I don't have enough time to do what Thomas Edison did. He went through 10,000 filaments before he found a way to invent the electric light bulb. I mean, the show will be done by then. It's just not enough time for that.
That is dedication. That is dedication.
Yeah, I never really figured out if that was dedication or stupidity, but he certainly was persistent. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah. I mean, we've got lights, Eureka.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. He lit up the world. Got to give him credit for that.
So. That's a biggie.
But anyway, this is also a biggie because, well, sadly, Astrid can't join us today. But we'll be seeing her again with the next show that we do. And that leads to an important point, which is that this is the last show you and I are doing for the next 3 weeks because I'll be away from my microphone for a 10-day period that includes two Mondays. So we have to get all of January done in today's show. Do you think we can do that?
No problem.
Oh, it's all fun.
So you're off somewhere nice?
Yeah, we're heading off to Florida. We're going to be visiting my brother and sister-in-law, spending 10 days there and just getting away, which is something that the two of us have not been able to do in a number of years. This is an important getaway for us, so we're really looking forward to it. And we were just talking with my brother and my sister-in-law today and firming up some plans, and it's getting real. It's getting exciting. It's a good thing.
Great.
I think it's one of the best things is when you're anticipating, you know, when you're getting excited about the thing that's coming and building it up in your mind. And I've been really working on doing that a lot. I've been incorporating it in my morning practices and so forth. And it's getting to the point now where I am literally imagining myself walking onto the plane, getting into my seat, and the plane taking off. And we're up in the air, and then we're flying to the destination. I mean, I've got the whole thing segment intended. I don't have to do anything that day.
You know, Walt, you'll find how smooth that works for you, and all the little miracles happen that way. Mm-hmm. It's just brilliant. So one thing I like doing, you've done the basics, and then I like upping the ante by saying to myself, let's have some miracles happen, you know, bump into these incredible people, or, you know, some kind of circumstance will just vibrationally hit me and it'll just be beautiful and I just can't wait for it. Yeah, so, you know, I just kind of like upping the ante when I get to having done the first part beautifully. Mm-hmm. And then I want to take it a bit further and a bit further and a bit further. And
that's good.
Yeah.
I like
it's that. Worthwhile doing. It really is because, you know, there's some amazing people out there in the world. And if you bump into some of them, you know, they can really, really make a difference and you can have such a beautiful time.
Very true. That's a good idea. And I'm actually going to make sure I incorporate that the next few days because we take off on Friday. So I've got, four more days now of affirmations and focusing and segment intending to do before we go. So I got lots of opportunity to build that up. And I'm going to do that. That's going to be fun.
One thing that I'm trying to understand is because I'm enjoying the Jaguar so much, is it because I spent so many years focusing on a Jaguar, building up my vibration to getting one, that I'm really so much enjoying it now. I think that is the case. I think that, somebody just gave me $1 million and I went and bought it or something like that, I wouldn't feel the same way at all. But really, it's such a surprise to me how much I enjoy it. It just blows me away every single time.
Well, it makes total sense to me because we know that this is an emotionally driven
thought-driven universe. And when I think about it in those terms, I mean, first of all, I know that a thought that I think about over and over again becomes a belief. And if you keep going and you just keep building and building it, it becomes a passion. So the emotion comes into it. And we've talked about many times how, you know, the two really go together, thoughts and emotions. They're almost inseparable. So as long as that's the case, if you're spending all that time doing the anticipating, how else could it go but to build up the emotion? I don't see how it could do anything else. It would have to build the emotion. And that's the fun part. That's the really exciting part.
I didn't expect it to give me the longevity of appreciation. That is the surprise factor for me.
Why is that?
I've bought many new things, and they've impressed me for a little while, but not for very long. and this is something that is consistently and sustainingly giving me joy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just quite surprised. I don't suppose that I've ever worked that consistently over that period of time on any one subject.
Okay.
Except maybe a partner, which I think is quite common.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time on that one, usually in the wrong direction, but I finally got
it. Yes. That's another story. The great advantage was with the JAG was understanding the law of attraction and applying it appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, the entire LOA boils down to one thing: awareness, 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 conscious creation versus unconscious creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the good news. When we have the knowledge, when we have the understanding of how all of this stuff works, then, well, it's up to us to try it, to practice it, to put it into practice. And that's one thing that kind of tripped me up for a while. Why did I have so much resistance to putting stuff into practice? I knew that the resistance was there. I knew resistance is the answer to that question. But why did I do that? I mean, I kind of had an example of that today, actually. I had a car I'd been leasing, and today was the day to turn in the car, and so I was feeling kind of sad about that and kind of down about it. And I was saying to myself, well, wait a minute, Walt, you know perfectly well, you get to decide what your reaction is to any given situation. You can change this reaction all you want to. And meanwhile, deep down inside, I was saying, no, I can't. I feel miserable right now, and it's because of this thing. Very petulantly, very upset.
That's interesting that you gave your power over to a car to affect you, to have that control over you. And I find that a lot of people do that with a lot of things. But I find, again, the conscious awareness that, oh, I'm doing this, allows you to turn around much easier than if you didn't understand that. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that made it easier was when I had actually completed the process of turning the car in. Because then all the angst went away. And so I asked myself, what the heck was I so anxious about? I don't even understand. It doesn't even make any sense to me.
What were you anxious about? The fact that you don't have a car anymore? Or were you anxious about the fact that it might have had a dent in it that they might have picked up? Or you have no idea?
That's what was throwing me. Because I was asking myself questions like that. You know, what is this? What am I so upset about? And I realized fairly quickly that none of it was rational. So I knew it had to be just pure emotion going on. But I couldn't even attach a reason to it. You know, I tried a few of them. Louise helped me. She was trying to help me figure out. And she was saying, oh, well, you know, it means that in a sense there's like a metaphor that you've lost some freedom because this car is gone. So you don't have the car to be able to rely on to hit the road whenever you want to. There's probably some truth to that. But, you know, at the end of the day, It just was a sense of loss. There was no reason. There was no reason at all. And the sense of loss disappeared the moment that I left the car dealership and left the car behind. It's like, okay, I said goodbye to the car. That's that. And then it was done. What? I still haven't processed this. I really don't know what happened.
I've been very surprised in my life how attached people have become to cars from the point of view they name them. And
Oh, yeah, my dad used to name all his cars.
They go all over the place with the cars. And it's interesting how people take inanimate objects and put so much, humanize them, personify them.
Yeah.
And I really don't know why. It's not something I've ever done. I've never called my computer Betty and my car this or
anything. Honestly, my computer is named Abraham. It really is.
All right, okay. But, you know, some people really enjoy that naming thing. My sister is huge in it. Everything's got a name. Everything.
Well, in this case, it wasn't like I was going out of my way to name the computer, because they always have some sort of a name associated with the computer just so that computers
when you can buy them,
the computers. Yeah. So, but I like to change the name to something that actually makes some sense. So in that sense, I'm giving it a little personification.
Yeah, I call it computer.
You realize, of course, that when the computers become sentient, they're not going to want to have anything to do with you, because you won't recognize them for anything other than computer.
Deal with it, man. Now you know what it's like.
Yeah, right. I do remember there were times when this is before I really became aware of how the law of attraction works and how conscious creation works. I remember there were times when I really did believe that if I treated my computer nicely, it would behave better. And my experience matched my belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so of course it had to play out that way. But it was a strange thing. So I really did believe I had to treat my computer well. And you know what? Now that I understand how the law of attraction works, I think that was actually a good thing to do. I think that was actually a very beneficial. When I say good, I mean good for me.
It is a good thing, but you're doing it unconsciously.
I was doing it unconsciously, right. Yeah.
But it consciously makes all the difference. Because then you can do the little tweaks and... yeah, I love your computer, and you're always working well, and you know why it's going to continue working better for you, et cetera, et cetera. But in the past, it was almost, those kind of scenarios are almost like superstition. You know, if I treat you well, maybe you will treat me well back. And it was more based on Carolyn Mace talks about a lot of those kind of things as superstition. So I kind of got what she was getting at with all that. And, you know, she said, you will never believe how superstitious we are.
Well, yes, I knew that. That one I've been aware of for quite some time.
But when you break it down, superstition appears in very... You know, it's not all about black cats and ladders, you know.
No, it goes far beyond that.
Way beyond that.
Right. But there's also a complicating factor, because source energy flows through everything, including computers.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a component of the computer being alive. I guess it's the best way to express it. There's a computer, there's a component of the computer being self-aware. And when I think about it that way, then I get really mind-boggled, because at that point I'm having trouble keeping track of, okay, whose thought process am I following right now? But more than that, I feel like I'm in that echo chamber, you know, where everything is being reflected back to me, and I'm asking myself, okay, well, is that just what's being reflected back to me, or is that another entity that's interacting with me and playing a game, for lack of a better term, you know, playing out a pattern. And at that point, I start getting confused, like, because everything that we are taught about law of attraction is about how we individually control our own universes. We control our own lives and so forth. Now you would think that if there's going to be confusion, I'd have the same confusion when it comes to dealing with other people, because they're the ones that we are most easily able to identify as others, as living beings. But for me, it becomes more confusing when I'm dealing with what we normally call inanimate objects, such as a computer or a desk or a chair or a rocker or whatever. Because when I'm understanding them to also be sentient and energy and source energy, and I am engaging in that personification process we were talking about, then I'm asking myself, well, that answer that I'm hearing in my head, is that just all in my head? Or is it perhaps that I really am getting a message from that sentient being? And I can't tell the difference.
You know, the process of learning to trust your emotional guidance system is, in my mind, what you're talking about. Slowly but surely, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer as you practice. Oh, does this feel good or doesn't it?
Mm.
Does it feel good or doesn't it? And to even arbitrary things like, you know, should I use this today on the computer or that today? Or should I do this or should I do that? Whenever you've got choices. The confusion just comes in when you're looking at one side, looking at the other, looking at one side, looking at the other, and not looking at one and saying, oh, that doesn't feel good. Looking at another saying, oh, that doesn't feel good either. And looking at another, oh, that feels good. So it's like stopping with each one of the changes and saying, how does this feel? And so you compartmentalize the thought. The thought is about office or Excel or video conferencing or this. So you take the thought and you break it down to how does that specific thought feel to me? And then you're breaking down all the in components. So you start finding you like weaving your way through to get to your result. And it's quite amazing how it starts working for you. Mm-hmm. How you start flowing in the direction of path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm. Which is always the ultimate path to go anyway, because when you have least resistance, that's when you have the most movement, the most stuff happening. Especially the cool kind.
Well, the kind that is moving you towards more of everything that you want.
Okay. I'm not sure what that point was, but that's fine.
So basically I'm saying the path of least resistance is the path of most allowing. What you want to allow is everything that you want. Mm-hmm. That's all you ever wanted to allow. Nothing else exists. You know what you don't want, you know what you do want, goes into the vortex, and your vortex gives you the negative or positive feeling towards
okay
coming in. So it becomes so incredibly simple after a while that you're not thinking as much as you used to. You're almost feeling more than you used to.
That's true.
You're just going with the feeling, and the feeling, of course, affects the thoughts, because the thoughts affect the feelings affect the thoughts, and it's like the circle goes on. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of get to that place where, and it flows, and you get this beautiful circle, and as it flows, you move forward to everything that you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's true. That flow is a feeling and an experience. It's an experience that is, it's an experience that you don't have to think about. It's not one that you feel like you have to work out the details of. What's the rationality of this thing? It's just, you just, it's the, that's what the go with the flow part means. You just go with it. There's no processing it.
I think that there's, and I always had a problem with this, and I found out what it was, and I'm going to share it with you.
Okay.
So the problem is, you say, a lot of people say, get rid of your thinking, stop thinking, don't think. Okay. And that's not true. When you're thinking in alignment with everything that you want, it's beautiful thoughts, mm-hmm. non-resistant thoughts. Mm-hmm. Now, we may consider that as non-thought, but it's not. It's actually still thought.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
So a lot of people want to say mind no, mind bad, which mm-hmm. is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts about what you want are incredibly beautiful, satisfying, mm-hmm. exhilarating, flowing, they're harmonious, they're in the zone. often we need to get to those thoughts by not thinking.
Well, in a sense, yes, by turning off the brain that's going
by turning off the rails. Thoughts about what you don't want.
Right. Yeah. Going off the rails is the part that's not.
I just wanted to point out that I'm now so much happier with my mind that it is the biggest blessing that the law of attraction has given me, is just having my mind being comfortable with me.
I think where I was trying to explain was, you're right, it's not so much turning off the thought. It's very often we want to analyze stuff. We do that all the time here on the show. We analyze stuff to death. You know, so, and when we can very easily get into a mode where it becomes an effort because we're feeling like we constantly have to analyze every single thing that comes our way. Whereas acceptance or reducing resistance is really just about letting the flow come through. So does that mean that we're not thinking? No, I don't think it means that we're not thinking. I think it means that we're not efforting. We're not trying to turn I have to frame this thought and I have to create this one that goes in this direction and it has to do that, but it has to connect to this one over here. And, you know, just getting frantic about the whole thing. I think that's what I was trying to drive at when I was saying you kind of turn the thought off. Because you're right, you never really turn the thought off. That doesn't make actually any sense. But we do need to kind of
the first thing I like to explain about thought is it's our most powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
And its power is amplified by the law of attraction.
Yeah.
And respecting it and appreciating it for when it's focused on what it wants is important. And appreciating it for when it goes through to what it doesn't want is also incredibly important. When you know what you don't want. So, you know, you're getting to come to terms or to peace with the thought, with the mind, is a beautiful, beautiful place to be. That's all I can say.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I definitely agree with you. I would also throw in an idea, which is you pointed out, I don't remember exactly what you said, but you pointed out that the thought is the most important or the most powerful thing that we have. And I think I would only qualify that by pointing out that it's the most powerful one when we turn it into a belief by focusing on it. Because to me, that's what a belief is. A belief is something that a thought that we focus on. And until we focus on it,
until we spend 14 seconds on it, yeah.
Or some duration. It doesn't even matter what the duration is. Until we give it some attention like that, it's not going to gain power, but the more attention we give it, the more power it gains. So to me, the most powerful words in the English language are I believe. Mm. Because just by asserting I believe, I'm focusing my attention on whatever it is I'm focusing my attention on and making it more and more powerful with my attention. So just kind of amplifying what you said in my way.
It's interesting because, you know, I've got this leg and I can't walk and I got crutches and I'm trying to stretch it. I'm trying to put weight on it. I'm trying to do all the things that are necessary and it's taking time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time. And one of the constant challenges I see from almost anybody who's got these kind of injuries is, my God, the body takes long to heal. You know, I wish it would hurry up and all these kind of things. Now, I did what I said last week. I said, you know, like, guys, can you pray for me?
Right.
And I really believe that that has helped big time.
Oh, sure.
Significantly. And since then, you know, every day after that, it was like a quantum leap. And it was like, wow. It slowed down a bit now, but I really felt it. And of course, I very much allowed their thoughts to come into me because I asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just put out that thought, you know, let me take their thoughts and add it to my beliefs. And let's roll with the combined effort of those. And, you know, it was fantastic. I was really, really impressed. But still, there's that thoughts that I've had today, you know, I really want to get off these crutches now.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because I had an experience that was somewhat related to this. It was certainly a physical injury type experience. I've talked often about how I injured my ligaments in my knee, particularly my left knee, about a year and a half ago, and then went through a healing process. And in the last few weeks and months, I've also noticed that the more I talk about that on the show, the more often it recurs. And it got to the point, I think it was yesterday, actually. Yesterday, we had some abnormally warm seasonal weather, what we often call January thaw. And temperatures were up into the 60s, near 70 degrees Fahrenheit. It was gorgeous. Today, we're back in the 30s. anyway, I took advantage, and I was out getting some walking in and so forth. And as I'm walking along, I'm noticing my knee is hurting. I think, oh, geez, here I go again. I've been focusing on the knee too much. I got to focus on the healing. So I did my usual little trick. My trick is to focus on my other knee and feel how good that feels and then say to myself, my left knee feels the exact same way. And what was really interesting is that I was getting very quick response.
Mm.
So my knee would hurt, and I would focus on my right knee, and the instant that I did that, within like a second or two, the left knee stopped hurting. And then I'd look back at the left knee, and then it would start hurting again. And then I'd bring my attention over to the right knee again, and it would stop hurting. And I'd bring it to the left knee, and it would start hurting. I was like, wow, this is really something here. I mean, I've got some control going on here. Now all I got to do is just keep my mind over on the right knee. And so that's what I spent the rest of my walk doing, was staying on, you know, focusing on my right knee. What's my right knee feel like? And then inevitably, my mind would want to find out what's the current score on that left knee and check over there. And sure enough, it would start hurting again. And I mention all this because for the longest time, I really thought that if I could get to the point... Oh, I'm getting all these pings here. I think I'll see if I can turn those off. That just disrupted all my thought. I got to bring it back. yes. For the longest time, I was thinking, well, if I could just shorten that time, you know, that experience time, I could really get a handle on maintaining control of my thought and where I want it to be. Yes, I like that. No, I don't like that. Really, really strong feeling of that. And what I found is that that's not true. And it surprised me because I really thought that if it happened more frequently, well, yeah, of course. Now I have an instant, you know, stimulus response. I can play with that. I can get that. And it turns out that actually isn't what makes the difference. That was a surprise. And I think it was actually a good educational piece. Like, okay, well, that isn't really it. So it really is just as simple as, what am I focusing right now? The rest was actually an excuse. Wow. Mm. Really? Holy cow.
it's so simple. And, you know, we weren't brought up with it, with that level of simplicity. We complicate it along the way, but it's something I want to try because, you know, if I focus on my left calf, I know that I can have that level of instant response. Now, the big thing that I picked up with your little chat now is can you now see how you have instantly manifested something?
Mm.
So you can call yourself now an instant manifester.
That's true, yeah. Much to my surprise and amazement.
And I would not underestimate the power that this little experiment is giving you. The understanding it's giving you, the confidence it's giving you, the increased belief that you can do it not only with that, but with other things with as much ease, okay? Focusing on the bank account that's got lots of money and not the one that's got less money or whatever. you know, you can start having instant manifestations. And it is very, very powerful. So really, play with it more, because the more you play with it, the more you see it actually works like this, the belief will click. There's something inside. I'll just go, I can do this with anything. Mm-hmm. I can do this with anything. Mm-hmm. And then you just start running and running and running. It's like that car that you start pushing, and then it starts going a little bit downhill, and then it
right.
And of course, it does come up a little bit for a while, and then it goes down again. If you're alive, you're gonna come up. Okay. As Richard Bach says, if you want to know if your mission on Earth is complete, if you're alive, it isn't. It, you know, you're going to have those ups again and enjoy those ups, because the more you enjoy them, the less you're going to have. the lower the curve.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The less undesired ones, I think, is what you were aiming at.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's true. I think we'll actually end up having more. More experiences. I think they actually increase, but
it's the quality of the experiences. We always have experiences, but it's the experiences that are bringing us closer to what we want.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we want can be anything. A lot of people say, you know, I've mentioned this before, but one lady said to me, that doesn't sound very spiritual.
Really? Okay.
I said, don't you want more love in your life? Don't you want more connection with your God? Don't you want... I didn't look at want in that respect, you know. Don't you want better relationship with your partner? Don't you want love, you know, a greater loving relationship with the whole family, you know. What do you want? So the want is fascinating because it's very different for each individual.
I'm still stuck on, that's not very spiritual. Like, well, what did she think it was? Because I'm at a loss at that point.
Well, she was saying, you know, she was thinking you want a house, car, boat, money, blah, 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 which spiritual people tend to think is not spiritual. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Because I mean, a year ago, I would have instantly made that connection. I'm not making that connection now. I wonder why that is. I wonder if...
You're so far in the other direction that exactly. You can't see it anymore.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if I'm becoming a little bit blind to that. Interesting.
Which is good.
Yes and no. I think there's value in maintaining the...
That clarity and awareness.
Clarity, yeah. I mean, to me, I've said before, 2020 is the year of clarity. And I really believe that is true. And I believe it is not only true, but it's also something to aspire to, something to get excited about. So that's a level of clarity I want to add to my repertoire, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I want to expand my ability to be clear about things. You've talked about it quite a bit, about how we have the ups and downs in life, and you know, we love the, well, actually in your analogy, it was kind of reversed, but in that case, going down was the great part and going up was not so great. But we have to find a way to appreciate both of them. And I think that's the essence of attaining true clarity. True clarity is where you appreciate the whole thing. Like, wow, how cool is this?
It's Abraham Hicks of step five.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Step five is... The instant you go into the contrast, what you don't want, you immediately see what you do want, and you start running with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's the most incredible experience when you start getting it. Having that very quick shift, it's like, wow, this is so cool.
I seem to be doing it in micro shifts, though. That's the interesting thing.
This lady was sitting in front of Abram and having these chats and saying, you know, I've got this problem with my partner, and you know, we're really struggling, and we just had another fight, and right in the middle of the fight, she just suddenly felt gloriously happy, and for years she's been thinking, you know, I've always wanted to see. They lived on the river, and she always wanted to see this fish. I don't know what fish it is, but when they jump out of the water, and she'd never seen one. Uh-huh. And as she walked away from him and stared at the river, there were these fish, like a lot of them, just and she's like, oh, wow. Right in the middle of the contrast, I did the turn, I was a step fiving, and then I get this extra confirmation
of, mm-hmm.
this is how it is. And I love that story.
That
it stuck in my mind big time, because you know, it's a very good example of step five.
Not only an example of step five, but also an example of how easy it is to appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved your comment at the end of the last session. You said, oh, Louis, thanks for tearing your calf muscle or something.
Yeah, because right.
We had a great conversation this week.
We did.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. So, you know, and I immediately said, that's exactly how you need to look at it. And that is exactly it. You know, I do see that and I feel it. There are so many opportunities that I have been given since this leg has gone like this, there are two sides. I'm sitting in bed a lot. I got a bit of cabin fever. I really want to get out. And when I do move around with the crutches, et cetera, it does take a lot of strain on muscles that I haven't used before.
Sure.
And it tires me out quickly. So, you know, but now my arm muscles are getting stronger and now the stamina is getting a bit better. And, you know, the flexibility and the extra movement is helping my whole calf muscle heal. There's less pain. There's no swelling anymore, you know, and so it goes on and on and on. And it's just such a beautiful journey. It's like, wow, you know, you can see the movement so quickly. It was great. I got one of these little stockings that hold the muscle. And all the rest of it. And it's made by Dr. Arthritis in London. There's a couple of doctors. His surname must be Arthritis. And he calls the product Dr. Arthritis. I'm doing some promotion for him here.
I think I might want to change my surname if that was me. But
I know.
Whatever's up to him.
Can't help it. I'm sure the guy who named Arthritis was called Dr. Arthritis.
It's like my wife says, you know, we come up with all these words that describe situations that we personify into people, and we say we will never invite these people to our party. So arthritis is somebody we will never invite to our party. That kind of thing.
Well, I was impressed because they've put copper in the stocking, and copper is very good, I don't know, for healing, etc. So,
right.
And I can say that since I put that stocking on, it has also made a significant difference because it helped the swelling and you know, it compresses it and all the rest of it. And it's done an amazing job. And I'm really appreciative to him for the stocking, you know, and all the rest of it. And he gives a beautiful little booklet of all the different exercises with it. And it only cost like a 10 quid or something on Amazon delivered the next day. It's such a great product, you know, something simple, something effective, something that I need to use. And, you know, as much as I'd like to say I do everything with my thoughts, I don't. I will use any tool that helps me move forward in any aspect of my life.
Well, the challenge is, I mean, we love to use tools like that, particularly in LOA circles. People, I mean, I've used a lot of them myself too. We do affirmations. Affirmations are a tool. They're a way of retraining our minds to focus more often on what we like and want. Meditation is another tool, basically another way of taking control of your own thought process and focusing on what you want, or in that case, you know, just turning everything off for a moment. I mean, you can go through the list. Mirror work. Every single thing that you can ever think of that's a method is all about retraining the mind. That's ultimately what it comes down to.
Electric toothbrush, all these things, all these gadgets, cars, anything.
Sure.
They're all kind of the microphone, you know, they all kind of fit that of profile. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all good to use. I think the important thing is to remind ourselves why we're using them. And that is, we're using them to learn how to focus our minds. And to do it more consistently.
We're using them to amplify our beliefs. I believe that this microphone is good, therefore it works better. And without getting this microphone, because I made a choice of the different microphones in Amazon, you know, it may not be as effective if I had to get something else, whatever. But, you know, that I bought this camera. I don't know if you've noticed, but it should be a little bit sharper on the face. I know that Chroma Cam's throwing the...
We're getting some wild green slashes coming off of your body at times, yeah.
It's not perfect, but it's getting better and all the rest of it. So this technology, there's no green screen, yeah? And I'm really appreciative because if I had a green screen, because it's such a wide angle camera, I'd have to cover my whole room with a green screen.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to do that. So now I've got something like this. I haven't paid for it yet. As you can see, it pops up with a little logo now and again.
Right, right.
watermark. You know, I've just been trying it out and all the rest of it, but I really appreciate that software is now doing this. And this software has only been out for about 2 years max, 1.5, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they've improved it significantly in that time frame. And I can imagine in the next year or two, it's going to be, nobody's going to use a green screen. It's going to be completely
screen. I'm impressed that they can do this much without an actual green screen. I mean, this is really very, very good.
I mean, I remember the room I used to do the old podcasts in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that room now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
With my desktop computer, et cetera. And it's just so amazing how it just fits. It just, you know, technology is moving on and things are changing. And, you know, I've always been a big techie fan and gadget fan and all the rest of it. And I love it. I've got the best phone on the market. All the Apple guys are going to shout at me.
shout. I'm a shouter here.
Are you an Apple fan?
I am. Yes.
I must say I respect Apple big time. Yeah.
I straddle both sides of the fence. I started out on Apple. I went over to the PC world. And then when the phones came along, I kept going back and forth, which way do I go? And I decided I'm going to go with the Apple side, partly because I was also buying for my wife, and I knew that the Apple was going to be a more consistent experience.
Better fit,
yeah. So I went that way. And I like it. I think there's a lot to be said for the Apple. I agree with you
completely.
I'll also say that when it comes, I'm working on this programming project that I've been telling people about for a few months now, and that's what I was spending my day on and getting all kinds of education about contrast. But one of the things that I've noticed in my initial attempts to just put a bit of software on various devices, including on the iPhone, is how consistent the iPhone is. I mean, because it has just one
Absolutely.
Way of doing things, you either get it or you don't. With the Android phone, you can get a different result and you're not quite sure why you got it. The iPhone, it's always the same result.
And that is phenomenally useful in IT.
It really is. No doubt about it.
Really is.
It simplifies things tremendously.
It really is. Like the problems I had just setting up the Zoom for this call, you know, I mean, I bought a brand new machine, so I've got a high spec machine here. I mean, it's got 32 gig RAM. That's just the RAM. I've got an L2 memory chip. So, you know, the L2s. So instead of an SSD, you've now got an L2.
Yeah, you're talking very, very high speed.
And you're talking very, very fast.
Yeah.
And I got 512 gig of that. And I got a terabyte hard drive as well. So
both. Oh, okay.
But that's a combo. That's an SSD platter. You know those combos.
Yeah, okay. I hadn't messed with them, so I don't really know about it, you know, directly. But
Yeah. But, you know, beautiful, beautiful, fast machine. And then you've got the software that comes on top of it and it doesn't play ball so well. You know, so.
But look how high the standard is, because we were just talking about, a few minutes ago, the selection process of selecting, I like this, I don't like this, I like this, I don't like that. And you acknowledged this software has only been out, what'd you say, a year and a half, 2 years, something like that? And already you know, that early into the process, you're saying, well, I don't know, this software isn't working very well. The amazing thing is that it works at all. But
the great thing is that they allow you to put as a background spreadsheets, screens, websites. You know, there's like no limit anymore.
Right, right. Yeah.
Absolutely no limit.
But what I'm pointing out to it is that, or pointing out about what you're doing is, on the one hand, you're acknowledging and you're saying, wow, how wonderful this software is. And on the other hand, you're saying, I want better. You know, you're in that step five mode already.
You're constantly moving forward with your thoughts. And as you run forward with those thoughts, so they manifest.
So it raises an interesting point. Because so often people complain technology is moving so fast, you know, the development of various technological advances is happening so quickly, people can't keep up with it. And it creates tremendous learning curves, and people are confused by the whole thing and so forth. And what I'm realizing, a main component of that is they're not in step five.
Absolutely. You know, I remember the resistance from people going from an LP to a tape, mm-hmm. from a tape to a CD, from a CD to a DVD, from a DVD to Blu-ray, from Blu-ray to USB sticks, mm-hmm. you know. And I've seen the resistance every step of the way.
Sure.
And I've always run with it. It's like, God, give me something faster than this stick. You know? I mean, USB 4 should be out by now. Not I bought a... You might have noticed that I don't have any headphones, so I've got a...
You got an earbud.
A little earbud here, which is fantastic because now there's no wire scratching for the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it gives you the freedom to move and do anything you want. There's nothing on your head. The chroma cam works much better than than I put this on.
Yeah. Then you get headphones doing weird things.
Really wobbly.
Yeah.
They were saying that if you're on really good chroma cam, you need to shave your head.
It doesn't handle hair well. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So, you know, it's just great when you understand the law of attraction when it comes to IT and technology. Mm-hmm. You can make it work that much better for you and that much easier. And, you know, I had this thing where I was sitting back as an IT contractor helping people with all their problems on their desks. I was really third line, but the first line guys used to drag me to the big problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't like talking to people much, and that's why I only chose third line roles. So when they did ask me to speak to Joe Bloggs, I would speak to them with Joe Bloggs sitting there, Joe Bloggs speaking to me, and I was kind of ignoring them, and I was answering him.
We should probably explain to people, there are going to be a lot of people listening who have no idea what third line and first line is, so we should probably make sure.
Okay, third line is when you generally the last line of support. So if first line can't do it, second line can't do it, third line is the guys that'll solve the problem.
So when you call in a conference center, the first person you're talking to is someone who's on the first line of answering.
Yeah. So the first line guys would drag me down to a big problems that they couldn't solve. So, you know, I was considered rude because I didn't look at them directly, and those are all the hassles and the challenges I had in my character. Mm-hmm. I didn't like speaking to people directly. I came from South Africa where everything was rough, bruff, and abrupt, and you just did it and you got out and you walked away, and that was it. When I came here, they did not like that at all. England is all about being nice and etiquette and socially cued and all the rest of it, and I was a rough diamond. So, you know, I had all these problems and all the rest.
Well, at least your metaphor was appropriate. You came from South Africa. It was a diamond. That was good.
do you know what the philosophy is in Africa?
What's that?
It's kill or be killed.
Ooh, okay.
You know what the philosophy is in Europe? Live and let live. It's a very different okay. belief structure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People who have come from South Africa to England struggle, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a very different world, being significantly. But, you know, going back to this IT thing, and they're really struggling there and all the rest of it. So I will sort it out quickly and easily. And kind of lost the plot where I was talking about. What was I talking about in the beginning?
I'm not sure where you were going.
It was very clear to me at the time, but IT support was really tricky for me in the beginning. It was really, really a challenge. And I definitely got the roles with all the servers and setting them up and configuring them and the data and the throughput and the backup and all those kind of things. That was my cup of tea. And when I got to the users, I was like, crumble. But I had this beautiful person who took me under their wing and taught me step by step how to socialize, how to look at people in the eye, what tie to wear with what shirt.
Yep.
You know, when we'd go out and eat together, she'd say, look at the waiter. when you're ordering, you know, and, you know, all these little things, I was clueless, you know, I was just like this rough thing. And I didn't realize how rough I was. I didn't realize how refined Europe was either. It was like a complete shock to me.
It's funny that you're talking about that, because for a brief time, the last official job I had before I went off on my own was doing what we call third level support, which is the same thing as third line support. Like you, it was doing servers. I was basically the Windows server guy, or one of two Windows server guys in the company. And I knew a lot of people. I mean, all the third level guys were in the same department, right? And we all, you know, all our cubicles were all next to each other and so forth. So I got to know them, and there were a lot of them who were just the way you're describing. Not the other people would have called them antisocial. They wouldn't have thought of themselves as antisocial. They would have thought of themselves as social what? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Exactly. But it's interesting because I have become a lot more refined on so many different levels. But if I'd understand the law of attraction back then, it would have made things so much easier. I would have just focused on what I wanted, left the rest alone, and I would have stumbled forward, and it would have just made everything roll.
It's interesting that you say that, because I'm thinking about some of the guys I used to work with. And if I had described law of attraction to them, that would have been the thing that would have sent them over the brink with me and figured that I was some sort of a loony for coming up with anything like that in the first place. Now, I'm just imagining what some of their reactions would have been to that.
So, you know, the IT community, especially in our day, in the beginning days, was really interesting individuals. I mean,
very. Yeah.
Well worth the experience of bumping into them all.
If you really want to understand what a left-brained individual is, that's a great place to work. Because, I mean, these are people who, in many cases, are so severely left-brain oriented that they can't break out of it. That's literally where they're locked into. So if you break up their sequence, you ruin their day. I mean, it's just that severe, you know? And I'm kind of lucky in that I've always been able to bridge the gap. I've been able to communicate both right brain and left brain from a very young age. So for me, it wasn't too difficult. But I can remember times you talked about how you had to learn things like, you know, looking the person in the eye when you're talking to them and all that kind of thing, which is like one little piece of that larger puzzle. That larger puzzle is where there is an inability to interact with other people, particularly those who are right-brained and who think in terms of a global picture instead of a series of events. That the lack of communication, I would see it all the time. I mean, you described how you didn't like talking to first-level people or first-line people or even customers for that matter. And I would see that a lot. I'd see people on third level who were just they would be described as antisocial because from the perspective of the customer they were trying to help, they were really cruel and really mean. And from the perspective of the third level person who was trying to help them, they thought they were being really clear. They thought they were being very, very helpful. And all they were doing was confusing the heck out of them. And then they didn't understand why. And they'd say, oh, these people are stupid.
Do you know what one of my favorite comments was?
What's that?
You go to somebody's desk, they couldn't do something, you've done it in 2 seconds, you walk away and you say the word operator failure. It's about as condescending as you can get it.
Just about, yes.
And accurate. It was accurate.
It is accurate, yep. I had a boss who once said, it's not the computer, it's you. And he said that a lot, and it was really annoying. But it was also true. Yeah, I like something you said about, I don't remember exactly how you framed it, but you were describing the process, the flow of technological development and how back in the day there were vinyl records. You started with vinyl records and you worked on up to modern technological stuff. And it made me think, Louise and I, one of the things we got for Christmas was a gift card to Barnes & Noble, which, of course, is still in existence but has been dwarfed by Amazon because Amazon has gotten far beyond books. And Barnes & Noble is still in their own little niche. They haven't really ever grown out of it. So this is the first time in a long time I've been in a Barnes & Noble store. And one of the things that surprised me is they have an entire display rack up front of vinyl records. I mean, like a large display rack of it. Now, I was aware that there is a segment of the world population that still likes vinyl records. And they like them, I guess particularly young people sometimes like them because of the pops and the crackles and all that kind of thing. They, from their perspective, the vinyl records make the music sound more real. And, you know, and that's a valid perspective. That's a totally valid perspective. And that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking, okay, well, most of us have, what, grown away from the vinyl records? We've grown into the digital age, and we've left those, you know, those pesky old-fashioned vinyls behind. But some people are saying there's great value to those vinyls. And that to me, is the wonderful lesson in it. Because you have different people making different selections based on different preferences about the same things. And it's a great reminder. There's no such thing as something that's bad. There's only something that is not wanted.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very tolerant of everybody else. My tolerance is massively increased, I think is the best way to put it, of anybody else's beliefs. Quirks, wants, desires, because, you know, you just realize you understand the process, you understand they came here to play with the contrast, that's a contrast they wanted to play with.
Absolutely.
Keep my nose in my business and off we go.
Yeah, yeah. I was just amazed that the market even existed. I was like, okay, wow. Who knew? And apparently it's a pretty good size one.
The vinyl market is massive.
I mean, yeah, it was taking up a large chunk of the front floor space. The floor space, you know, walking right in the door, that's usually prime real estate. That's where it was. I'm thinking, wow, really? There must be some serious selling going on here of these vinyl records. So, okay, cool stuff. Well, I'm glad we got the show underway. We actually started about 12 minutes late, but we did it. And it looks like
we're almost 12 minutes now. Yeah.
Yeah. The Chrome cam has actually settled down. You're not getting as many green flares. So maybe the software is getting used to it. Maybe being nice to it actually does help.
We're LOAing it.
That's it. That's right. We're LOAing it. Hey, just want to remind everybody, first of all, Louise and I are going to be away on vacation from the 17th through 27th. So this is the last show that Louise and I and Astrid will be doing until the first week in February. And obviously the other shows are going to kind of revolve around that too. We'll do shows up until this coming Thursday, so you'll be able to pick those up and then just start playing the replay. That's what you do whenever a show is on hiatus, right? You play the replay. So just play the replays for a while until we get back. Also, for those of you who are not yet subscribers, become one so you can play those replays. Very simple to do. Go to loatoday.net and you'll find instructions right at the top of the page for becoming a subscriber. Check us out on YouTube. You can see Louis playing around with his chroma cam that doesn't have an actual green screen. It's pretty cool stuff. Very, very cool.
It is very cool.
You're getting a look at the future right there. So check us out there too. Do a search for LOA Today podcast videos. Subscribe and hit the little bell so you can get notified. And that way you're subscribed every which way possible to LOA Today. And with that thought in mind, Louis,
I just wanted to say very quickly, Walt, that our lifegps.com, the training is going well. As I say, the first one is full, and we're still looking for people for the second one. So
fabulous!
You can put that in the link.
Yeah,
describe
it. Tell people how to find it.
Our lifegps.com. That's it.
Okay.
OurLifeGps.
You just go there and sign up for...
Go there and sign up. So just mention that you're looking for the second course now because the first one is full. We've got over 20 members now. So we're just looking for people on the second one. We don't want to make them too big. Actually, we were planning to go much slower than that initially.
That's the way these things often work, yes. Demand exceeds supply.
So yeah, we're really looking forward to doing that. It starts at the 19th, the first one. So the next one will be a couple of weeks after that.
Brilliant. Sounds good. And in the meantime, I hope you have a, great 3 weeks. I mean, I'll be looking forward to talking to you again after that, but save up a whole bunch of good stories for us for when we get back.
I will.
And please pass
I'm looking forward to getting out of the house and walking.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be the big story at that point, because I'm sure at that point you will be walking, and at that point you'll have put the injury behind you, so you'll be able to tell all that about how all that happened. Be good stuff. So thank you, Louis. Thank you to our podcast listeners as well.
Thank you,
we'll see you all next time here on
Thanks, listeners.
LA
Take
Today.
Care.
Goodbye.